Well, Abraham received the word of the Lord, we hear, and I want you now to receive the word of the Lord as well. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you today, for these are yours. Grace, mercy, and peace, they are yours, because your sins are forgiven, and you are given everlasting life in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is his promise to you today. And when God gives a promise, he comes through. It happens. It is yours. Amen. We're now in the second week of our narrative lectionary, and as you enter or leave the sanctuary, you might look up on above the main doorway and see photos that depict each week. And this week, of course, is the week of the stars. But last week, by way of review, we heard how God created Adam from clay, Eve from his rib. He breathed his Holy Spirit into them, and they had life. We also heard about the fall and sin. And if we fast forward a little bit, if you can recall your Genesis timeline, we move through Cain and Abel, the Tower of Babel, Noah and the flood, and we get to chapter 12, where I learned in seminary is an important chapter. It's where God gives his first promise to Abram that he will be a great nation and he will be a blessing to many people. Abram does not know how this is going to happen, however, but he trusts God. He moves away from his home, long ways away. And then again in chapter 15, we get today's reading. God tells Abram that while he may have no children at 85 years old and Sarah at 80, his descendants would be more numerous than the stars. Really, you might wonder, how could this be? Now, I might listen to a little too much AM radio or radio in general. I do enjoy it, AM or FM, talk radio or NPR. But when I read this, I thought of a guy named Rocky Moselle, and I want to know if you have heard of this guy, Rocky Moselle. I'm just curious how many people this connects with, and as I found last night, not too many. Well, let me tell you about Rocky Moselle. He owns a company called the International Star Registry. And if you listen to radio long enough, you will hear Rocky Moselle tell you about the best gift opportunity there is, according to him, that you could name a star after someone you love, or yourself, I suppose. For the price of around $50, you can name a star after someone. You can buy a framed certificate, and I suspect the price goes up depending on how much you want, a pillow, a t-shirt, a stuffed animal, with your star on these things. Now that is a business, unlimited product. And all they have to do, it's quite legal, is print a book naming all of the stars. It's an unofficial name, it's not an official name, but they have the book to prove it. I did hear, however, that Rocky had announced recently that after selling 2 million star names, they had run out. And they were now starting a Name the Grain of Sand campaign. I don't know if that's true or not, but really, how many stars are there when we begin to think of all of the stars in the sky? There are estimated to be between 100 and 400 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. That, by the way, is about 170,000 light years across, so it's a pretty big galaxy. And how long would it take to count all of these stars? Well, think of this. It will take you 32 years to count to 1 billion. So 100 billion, 400 billion, we'll be here for a while. And then think about this. The Milky Way galaxy is one of between 100 and 200 billion galaxies. There's a lot of stars. I don't think Rocky is going to run out anytime soon. Though I did find this, and this is why I hesitated to answer the question in the children's sermon, that actually, when you look up at the sky, what you see is probably about 5,000 stars that you can see with your human eyes. There are many more than that, but we see just a fraction of them. But what about Abram in the midst of this promise? After leaving his homeland, giving up all that he had, it's not surprising that Abram was getting a little nervous about his and Sarai's future. In Abram's day, there were no pensions, there were no 401ks or Roth IRAs, there was no Financial Peace University or Dave Ramsey. Your family and your kids were your future. They were your retirement, so to speak. So while God had said that he would make of Abram a great nation, it was in some ways saying you will have a huge fortune. But Abram was getting nervous because his closest heir was Eliezer of Damascus, a servant. And he and Sarai were 85 and 80 years old, and they had no kids. Sounds a little hopeless. So I wonder if Abram began to regard God's promise as something like that of Rocky Moselle's business. A lot of talk, but what am I really getting here after all? This is our temptation, isn't it? When the going gets tough, when the canyons of life seem to narrow and get taller, and we don't see a way out, we might begin to wonder what the future holds for us. God gives us a word of promise, but it is our sin that we do not trust this word. But here, in this story, Abram begins to show us how you actually use a promise given by God. And when we teach pre-baptism class, I often go to Luther's last question in the catechism, and he asks it this way: what does baptism do for your daily life? What is this promise good for? I ask it a little differently. I say, how do you use the promise of baptism? Because we don't often think of it this way. But when you have a promise and you begin to worry, what do? You go to the one who made you the promise and you check in. You remind them. You ask them for reassurance. So it is in marriage. When we say, I love you, it is a reassurance of that sacred promise of trust for better and for worse, for richer and for poorer, in sickness and in health. The promise does not depend on the circumstances, not a good promise. It does depend on the one making it, however. Or when Aaron Rodgers says, after he's been injured and hobbled back on the field to mount a ridiculous comeback against the Bears, that he'll be playing next week against the Vikings, you can count on it. Well, then no matter what the Packers coaches say, we know he'll be there, right? He has shown this to be the case. Well, I may be proved wrong today, that'd be okay, but we'll see. Even more now, even more than a marriage promise or athletic commitments, when God makes a promise, he does not go back on it. He is good to his word, and he keeps it. He does not lie. God cannot lie. And so faith now, as Abraham is teaching us, is trusting God and his word, even against all odds. For him, this meant that eventually he and Sarai would have a baby. Even though they were the age of grandparents today, it seemed impossible. They laughed at God. They had their own methods to try to make this come true. But eventually it did happen, and Isaac was born. And it wasn't because Abram was so great, by the way. We do lift Abram up as a man of great faith. But it wasn't because he was great. It was because God, the promise giver, was great. And so we get to the gospel reading, a very short one today, just one verse. And John the Baptist reminds us here is that God's love for them is not because they have Abraham's DNA in them. They are not great because of this, but it is because God has chosen them. John says, God could raise up descendants of Abraham from the rocks. You're not that special because of this, but you are special because God loves you, has chosen you. We are so tempted to trust the things and the signs of a promise rather than the promise itself. It's very easy for us to do this. Our wedding rings are signs of the promise of the wedding vows. Now, if you lose your wedding ring, as probably has happened to some of you, you can get another one. It hurts a little because the ring is so connected to the promise, but it is not the promise. And so John says, your DNA is not the promise. God's choosing is the promise. In the gospel, we're also reminded that God's promise to Abraham is actually off to a pretty good start. I'm going to read to you proof of that. It is the lineage that Luke gives us of Jesus. It is a section of the gospel that you will never, if ever, find in a lectionary, and perhaps for good reason, but I want you to hear it now, and I want to show you this slide back to the stars, and I'll just read the words and keep looking at these stars. Imagine you're in your own backyard looking up at the sky, seeing the Milky Way, and here Luke will name names for us, stars in the promise given to Abraham. Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his work. He was the son, as was thought, of Joseph of Heli, son of Mathat, son of Levi, son of Melchi, son of Jannai, son of Joseph, son of Mattathias, son of Amos, son of Nahum, son of Esli, son of Nagai, son of Math, son of Mattathias, son of Simeon, son of Josech, son of Joda, son of Jonan, son of Resa, son of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, son of Neri, son of Melchi, son of Adai, son of Kosam, son of Elmadam, son of son of Joshua, son of Eleazar, son of Joram, son of Mathat, son of Levi, son of Simeon, son of Judah, son of Joseph, son of Jonam, son of Eliakim. I'm going to keep going, but I want you to hear that God's promise has abundance in it. These are just a slice of Abraham's descendants. Son of Simeon, son of Judah, son of Joseph, son of Jonam, son of Eliakim, son of Meleah, son of Mena, son of Mattatha, son of Nathan, son of David, son of Jesse, son of Obed, son of Boaz, son of Salah, son of Nashon, son of Aminadab, son of Admin, son of Arni, son of Hezron, son of Perez, son of Judah, son of Jacob, son of Isaac, son of Abraham. God's word does what it says. And then Luke continues on and will take the lineage all the way to son of Seth, son of Adam, son of God. Now that is a star registry. I don't know if those names are in Rocky Moselle's book. I suspect not. But this is a true registry of God's promise. And you know what? You are in this too. You are in this as well because you have a promise. Not that your kids will be more numerous than the stars, but that you will be forgiven. You've received this promise in baptism, in God's word. When you hear the words of forgiveness, you'll receive it again when you receive the Lord's Supper. You have been made good, God says. You have been redeemed and made new. And you will be raised from the dead. You can count on this. When you have children and you share this promise with them, they too will live a new life. Use this promise now. You have something to cling to when it seems like there is nothing to cling to. And for some of you, I know that is what it feels like today. But Christ has come now to bless you and the whole world. As we start the stewardship theme this year of God's generosity, know that God's abundance is more than you can take in. Over Labor Day, Rafe and Josiah and I went to the far-flung wilderness of our backyard and put up a tent and camped out for a night trying to avoid the rain. And I took a risk and left the rain fly off the tent because the top of our tent is just screen and we could look up and see the stars, which is pretty cool. And there they were, the stars of the sky. I want you to think of this as well. When you see the stars, you can be reminded not only of God's promise to Abraham, but that you are in this promise, that God's mercy for you now is more numerous than the stars. It is bigger than anything you're facing, and it defeats even death and sin. This is his promise for you. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing our hymn of the day, The Numberless Gifts of God.